There is no question that our culture, our nation, is being shaken. The question is, what is God doing in the midst of it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I'll tell you, We start the week off and there's pain and sadness again. Massacre of Sikhs in their own house of worship by an apparent white supremacist. It seems this news is everywhere. Tragedy, pain everywhere, shaking, disruption. What in the world is going on? Michael Brown, welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. You've tuned in to the right place. You're listening to the right station, the right program right now, as by God's grace, we provide you with a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I've got a few questions I'm going to be asking you, some surveying I'd like to do. So get ready to call. I'll give you the questions in a moment. Get ready to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A number of things going on in the culture I want to interact with you about. I want to get your feedback, and I want to find out what you're hearing in your own church world, all right? I'll get to that in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Another tragic shooting here in America. Most of you would have heard the news by now. Many of you know who the Sikhs are. Many don't. This is, I think, the fifth largest world religion, a relatively recent world religion, 25 million Sikhs worldwide, 700,000 live in the United States. The great majority, though, live in India. And here they are at their house of worship, their temple, and a former army man comes in, an apparent white supremacist, and begins shooting, kills six people, others critically injured. He's ultimately killed in a shootout with police. After 9/11, there was a Sikh who was killed in New York. He was mistaken for being a Muslim. Now, Sikhs are anything but Muslims. They're not Muslims. They're not Hindus. Sikhs are monotheists. Sikhs believe basically in truth in all different religions. In fact, if you go to a Sikh temple, you'll have sacred scriptures from other religions there. But Sikh men are the most identifiable because most of them never cut their hair their entire lives. So they have a beard and they wear their hair in a turban. So because they look different, and it was immediately after 9/11, there was a Sikh who was killed because he was taken to be a Muslim. Generally speaking, within the States, Sikhs are not associated with any type of specific political cause. Within India, they are very much their own group. The Sikhs were founded when one of their gurus received, according to their narrative, received a revelation about one true God and came up with certain ethical standards. And I think there are 10 of these leaders, these gurus, who have passed on information, and they have their own sacred scriptures, which I understand over 1,000 pages, 1,400 pages long, that has the writings of the Sikhs' 10 gurus as well as writings from other world religions. Many Sikhs that I've come in contact with over the years have been wealthy, and there's a certain work ethic that they've had. One of their values is not to beg. Another is to help the poor. There are some odd religious customs associated with Sikhs, perhaps the most bizarre being that the body's exposed after death. It's just left to be devoured by animals and birds in India. Why target the Sikhs? Obviously, they're different. Different color skin, different culture. Some of the madness in America. I don't know that there's a specific lesson to learn from this, except the madness, the hatred, the violence continues to get out of control. I've got some constructive comments. We come back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. All of you that I met in the D.C. area, everyone listening right now on WAVA in D.C., Virginia, Maryland, what a joy to meet you Friday night and through the weekend to share hearts together. I was really encouraged by the passion that I found in so many of you. I was really encouraged to see not only do you enjoy listening to the radio broadcast, but you share the same values. Your heart beats to see a Jesus revolution in this country. God's people so changed, God's people so in love with Him, God's people so passionate for Him that our lives have a life-giving, life-changing influence on others. So thanks for coming out. Thanks for joining with us. To all of our new torchbearers, thanks for helping us make a difference. To all those that contributed over the weekend, thank you for making this such a wonderful time. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me ask you a question. As a believer in America, how many Sikhs do you know? Most don't know many or any unless you live in certain parts of the country. I was speaking in California, Northern California, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And to my surprise, there was a large Sikh population in that city. And once a year, they had an event, a march. I think about 100,000 people were there. And the hotel where I was staying, Sikhs came pouring in. And I was struck by the closeness of the family ties and by the honor that was given to the elders among them. In other words, that this was a people of strong tradition. But I wonder how many of us pray for them. I wonder how many of us say, oh God, may your gospel go to the Sikh community. They have certain beliefs that are true and right and certain ethics that are good, but they don't know the gospel. They don't know your truth. They don't know your love. They don't know why and how salvation is found in Jesus Yeshua alone. I wonder how many of us pray for them. Whatever Satan means for evil, God can turn for good. The losses to these families are devastating and will be devastating for many years to come. The trauma in the community in America and worldwide will certainly be deep. It's a great time, though, for us to be praying for divine connections, for divine open doors, to share the love of God and the good news of Jesus with Sikh people. When I've been in New York City a good number of times, I've had Sikh taxi drivers. And I'll start chatting with them, and I'll mention, you know, I go to India every year, been 18 times, about to go 19th time actually on this Friday. And they'll say, oh, have you been to Amritsar? Have you visited the Golden Temple? I said, no, I would love to go one day. They get so enthusiastic. There is a pride in their tradition and their identity. Let's pray in the midst of this tragedy that the love of God, the gospel, the goodness of God would reach them. We can pray, even if we don't know any, that the Lord would send laborers and touch them and raise up Sikh evangelists in their midst at this time of trauma, that God will use it as a time for the gospel to go forth. All right. I see, friends, as we change subjects, the separation lines are being drawn more and more clearly here in America. You don't need to be some brilliant, insightful commentator or prophet to say that. The lines are getting drawn more and more clearly, more and more definitely. I've said it for years. I've said that gay activism is the principal threat to religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. I've one of many saying that. I've made it clear you can't stay neutral. I just heard from a pastor friend in California, dear man, solid man. He was really burdened about these issues and wanted to help as my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, came out. And then he just said he's involved with so many other things and a major ministry he was doing in Africa with AIDS victims and so on. And he said, I just can't really get involved much in this. I said, hey, I understand. He was going to be a key leader helping us organize other pastors so we could minister and help and equip them in California. He emailed me yesterday, said, looks like I'm getting involved, just unavoidable. There are too many things coming my way. There are too many things that are hitting me. So last week, in the midst of gay calls for the boycotting of Chick-fil-A, a fine Christian company with fine Christian values, in the midst of that, what happens, but there is a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. World record set for Chick-fil-A. Many of the stores running out of food. People standing online an hour and a half with smiles on their faces just to order to say we stand with you. Now, was it that there was this incredible outpouring for Chick-fil-A simply because Chick-fil-A said, yeah, we stand for marriage. We believe marriage as God intended it and has always been the union of a man and woman. We hold to that, sure. Was that it? No. That was part of it. It was the level of attack that came against them. It was the strong calls for boycotts in strong terms with the mayor of D.C. calling them and their product hate chicken, with some now wanting them to be looked at as a hate group because they allegedly support other hate groups. And now I'm reading reports that were just sent to me before the show where people say if you go there, it's blood money. I mean, the rhetoric is getting so ridiculously turned up. And the assault on freedom of speech and freedom of conscience and freedom of religion is starting to get turned up more and more and more, that people are awakening to what we've been saying for years. Oh, I don't mean they're listening. Mike Brown was right. They're awakening to what many have been saying, that these are tremendous issues. And for Christians, for followers of Jesus, they're tremendously painful issues because we are caught on two sides. We have a profound love for every human being. We believe Jesus died for every human being. And we believe those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender often have been rejected by the church and misunderstood and put out and condemned and given the feeling that they're the worst of all sinners, even if they haven't acted on their desires, that they're the worst of all sinners, that God somehow hates them. That's the impression they've got. So we want to overcome that. We want to do everything we can to overcome that stereotype, to overcome that horrific God hates fags image of the Westwood Baptist Church, this little group, and others. We want to show love. We want to show compassion. We want to say every one of us has fallen short, and Jesus died for heterosexual and homosexual exactly the same way. And at the same time, we see homosexual indoctrination pouring into our schools. We see it flooding through the media. We see churches having their rights attacked. We on and on and on. We see a concerted effort to redefine marriage. One of my friends who's on the front lines of standing for righteousness in the culture says it like this: I'll stop when they stop. In other words, it's not a battle he asked for or I asked for. But when these things come knocking at our door and all we're trying to do is hold our ground, now we're designated hate-filled bigots. Of course we're going to have to stand and do what's right. And of course we believe it's in the best interest of society, long-term and short-term, to stand up for what is right. So massive outpouring of support for Chick-fil-A. Then there's going to be the counter-protest on Friday. Gays and lesbians are going to show up at Chick-fil-A's and they're going to go into the restaurant and kiss, or kiss in front of it, which is, it's quite interesting that the support for Chick-fil-A was just show up and buy food there and frequent the place. The other is going to be we'll go there and display our sexuality. Well, the thing fizzled. Tiny, tiny, tiny turnouts. I didn't know what to expect, and I thought, all right, I wonder what the wise and right way for Chick-fil-A to respond is. But it completely fizzled. And now I'm reading things, I'm reading reports. The rhetoric is getting more and more shrill against Chick-fil-A. By the way, Family Research Council is one of the groups that has been designated a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which columnist Mike Adams suggested a better name would be the Intellectual Poverty Law Center. I'm on their list of 30 new activist leaders of the radical right. In the report they wrote about me, about the only thing they got, they got right was my name. They even had my date of birth, year of birth, wrong by like 12 or 13 years. But anyway, I was honored to be on their list because of the bogus nature of a lot of what they do. They've done good in the past. Now it's just, if you hold to conservative biblical values, you're going to make it on their list if you speak up long enough and loudly enough and truthfully enough. Family Research Council, which is an offshoot of Focus on the Family, hate group. Chick-fil-A gives to them. That's hate money. It's blood money. Peter Sprague of Family Research Council is going to join me, God willing, on Wednesday, and we'll set the record straight about that. But friends, The lines are being drawn. The separation is coming. And I see the separation in the church as well between those who will hold to the truth and love and those who will compromise and cave in. Those who hold to the truth in love and those who will compromise and have compromised and are caving in and are even rereading the scriptures now to find a different meaning about truths that have been clearly and fundamentally established for years. And the voice of opposition is getting more and more shrill. I'll illustrate that for you in a moment. We come back. And I've got survey questions for you, so get ready to call 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I've got a survey question for you. Are you ready? 866-348-7884. I haven't asked this online, so this is just going to be a phone survey. I was interacting with a gay journalist. I was looking at a recent article that he wrote having to do with Chick-fil-A, and it has, I don't know, like 35,000 people that liked it when it was published, Facebook likes when it was published on Huffington Post websites. So it's well-read, and he definitely has influence as a gay journalist. We've been having some very, very civil, gracious interaction. He's been asking honest questions about my perspective. I've been sharing back and forth with him. And we agree that we were just completely poles apart on this, but committed to interacting and hearing each other out. And I explained something to him, and I want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? I explained to him, when he said, why don't the churches make more of an issue out of divorce? I said, you've got to understand that your average church, your average evangelical church, in the course of a year, they'll hear sermons on marriage, they'll hear sermons on family, they'll hear sermons on parenting. They may even hear messages like a men's group message on sexual purity or that kind of thing. I said, they hear almost nothing about homosexuality. It just doesn't come up. Or even about political battles regarding homosexuality and the like. And I've surveyed people face to face. I've asked questions in different settings. I've looked at publications of books. I've looked at sermon listings from different churches and so on. And it's verified my understanding. And I said, you see, these family ministries were fighting for family issues for years and years. And there are some now that are really mounting an attack on no-fault divorce. But this is part of what we do. For the most part, you've got some major ministries that deal with issues having to do with homosexuality, but it's just not the norm. I hear it constantly, even in terms of me addressing it on the radio. So, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're a member of a local church, you attend there regularly, you hear messages preached, you go to Bible studies, give me a call, 866-348-7884, and I want to ask you a few questions. Number one, in the last year, did you hear sermons on marriage, family? Were there seminars on that? Were there sermons about that? Were there messages or sermons about parenting, child rearing, those kinds of things? Were there messages, sermons about sexual purity, maybe the danger of pornography? Were there messages, sermons about homosexual activists? Now, you don't have to say, yeah, there were 11 sermons on this and 4 on this, and you don't have to pull out your diary. I'm asking you anecdotally, from your own memory, from your own understanding, 866-348-7884. Now, maybe you live in the state of New York, as many of our listeners listen to our great station, WMCA, then out into Long Island, WLIX. Maybe because of the marriage amendment issue, you've heard more about these things, maybe living in D.C. as these things were major political battles. But I'm just asking in the course of your church life, and by the way, Andrew, I don't need you to note anything other than name and location. I don't need to know any further details. We'll just get the folks on the air. I'm curious to know what you're hearing. I'm curious to know what you are hearing. So I'm going straight to the phones. George in Ellicott City, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. You're a member of a local church, George?
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I am.
And what kind of church is it?
It's a Baptist church.
All right. So over the last year, as you recollect, have you heard messages or sermons about marriage and family?
No. Essentially, no. And no sermons specifically about homosexuality, no.
Okay. Have there been any marriage seminars that the church has conducted?
No.
Okay. So that's an even larger conspicuous absence there. What about any teaching more broadly about sexual purity and things like that?
No. Interesting enough, no. I think part of the problem, I believe, is that maybe some of the pastors don't want to discuss it because of possible actions against them. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, on the positive side, though, there could be sermons on, you know, husbands and wives and, you know, Father's Day messages and Mother's Day messages and the importance of marriage and family, putting aside completely homosexual issues. So even on Mother's Day and Father's Day, you don't remember specific messages about the role of the mother or the role of the father?
Possibly on Father's Day, yes.
Possibly. All right, got it. Hey, George, thank
you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Consider this. Since homosexual marriages are considered basically a civil right, in essence, what would happen if a gay couple came to a church and asked the pastor either for premarital counseling or essentially to perform some type of marriage, quote-unquote, ceremony? Could it get to the point where he is arrested if he refuses to do it because he's violating the civil rights of a gay couple?
The possibility exists. It's not there yet, but if it is universally recognized as a legitimate civil right and there are no religious exemptions, that's the talk right now in England and Scotland. Will churches be forced to perform same-sex so-called marriages? In Norway, it now is the law that a local Lutheran pastor could say, I'm not going to perform the ceremony, but the bishop would have to get someone to do it. So, yeah, there's no question. If this is somehow recognized as a universal civil right and that you as a public servant are refusing to comply, it happened in New York State just on a secular level where someone who gives out marriage certificates declined when it was, I forget if it was two men or two women, the person declined based on religious conviction. Someone else was going to have to supply their certificate. That caused an uproar, and of course, the person was considered to be in violation of their job requirements. So, absolutely, George, the day could easily come when that takes place. I have no hesitation in saying that, whether it would be a fine, whether it would be some other type of repercussion, whether it could be arrest. That would not surprise me, sir, in the least. Okay, everybody, hang on. I'm going to get to all of your calls on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH. There's not a right or wrong answer here. I'm just soliciting information. I've got a bunch more things to share with you. In fact, I mentioned voices getting more shrill. I'm going to talk about that as well. Our special resource offer, in case you missed it from the end of last week, we have continued it into this week. My two-hour DVD, including extensive Q&A session, is Israel, an Evil Occupier. My lecture at the University of South Florida earlier this year. And then last week's two CDs from my entire program, Why I Disagree with Hank Hanegraaff, my friend Hank, on Israel and Zionism. $20 postage paid for all of those resources. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Jesus is Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Moments ago, a caller said, if homosexual so-called marriage is considered a civil right, what would happen to a pastor who refused to provide premarital counseling for a couple that said they wanted to get married, same-sex couple, or refused to perform a ceremony? And I said, could that person be arrested or subjected to some type of legal punishment? I said, the day could certainly come when that happens. As extreme as that may sound to some, the day could certainly come when that happens. And the sentiment is that you're a racist or a big, the equivalent of a racist. You're a bigot. You're an intolerant hater if you don't embrace and celebrate same-sex so-called marriage. Oh, wait till you read my article, Here Come the Polygamists. Should be out within the next 24 hours. Wait till you read that article and see the next set of issues that we'll be dealing with. Well, moments ago, I just took a look at my Facebook page. I asked Dr. Brown on Facebook, and there's a question from Nicole. People are comparing homosexual relations with interracial dating and marriage. I need an answer to that. Is there any way you can help me answer this in the right way? And sending her right now the link to my article, Why Gay is Not the New Black. Look, this is ever before us. Before I go back to the phones and ask what you're hearing in your churches or what you're not hearing, I mentioned the voices of opposition getting more shrill. Someone pointed out that it wasn't that long ago that homosexual community said, look, just stay out of our bedrooms. Let us just do what we do, stay out of our bedrooms. If so, well, I'm not trying to get in your bedroom. What you do or don't do is between you and God, as long as you're not breaking the law. Well, it's gone way beyond that. It's now accept, celebrate, embrace who I am, or you will be outcast as a bigot. And we will work against your rights. That's where it's going rapidly. Mel White, Dr. Mel White, was a Fuller Seminary professor. He was a pastor and beloved teacher. He was a ghostwriter for Jerry Falwell and other prominent evangelical Christians. Struggled mightily with same-sex attraction for years, was married. His wife knew about his struggles. He went through counseling, I think shock treatment, deliverance. Finally slit his wrists and in the hospital basically realized, okay, God has made me this way. It's his gift. I don't know the exact chronology of when he came to that, quote, revelation. He and his wife agreed to divorce, and he's been with his partner, Gary, for decades since then and started an organization called Soul Force, Nonviolent Resistance, Changing Hearts and Minds About Homosexuality. So he wrote a book, A Stranger at the Gate, and it got a lot of attention. He gave his story. He presented the way that homosexual men or women are treated by the church and viewed at the church. And I quoted, I took some lengthy quotes from Mel White, from his open letter to Jerry Falwell. A gracious appeal, one that really breaks your heart as you read it, one that's so helpful to get you into the mindset of those who profess to be followers of Jesus and at the same time are practicing homosexual men and women. Well, that was the first book. It came out with a second book, Religion Gone Bad. The rhetoric is much more intense. The call for nonviolent, unrelenting revolution until, quote, justice comes, very loud and clear. Very strong. Well, I saw he had a new book that came out, not just Religion Gone Bad, Holy Terror, accusing conservative Christian organizations, those that say marriage is the union of a man and woman, or those that are pro-life, the guilty of holy terrorism. What? So I bought the book, started flipping through it, said, wait a second, this is the same book. I don't know if it has any changes from the Religion Gone Bad. This is the same book from 5 years ago. And I was shocked that it wasn't made explicit, so you'd know it before getting it. But the enlightening thing is the rhetoric. We're just holding the same thing we've held. Bible's clear. Marriage is near of a man and woman. Religion gone bad. Holy terror. Friends, the opposition's getting more shrill. What are we going to do? We come back. I'll get your calls immediately. I give you my word. Stay here.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. As I was interacting with a gay journalist and he was saying, why are you making such a big deal about same-sex marriage? How does it affect any of you? Look, let us have our own civil right. You can have your spiritual right. What's the issue? And why don't you make a big deal about divorce? And I said, let me say what I've said over and over again. Heterosexual divorce in the church, no fault, heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined, without question. But then I explained how, if you redefine marriage, the implications, what, and down the list and so on. And I said, and most of the family ministries have been for years working to strengthen family. And I said that your average church is not hearing about homosexuality, but they are hearing about marriage, family, parenting, etc. So just wanted to give background for those just tuning in. I said I'm going to the calls immediately, and I am. I've asked what you're hearing in your local churches. Mary in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
You're welcome.
Mary, what kind of church do you attend?
A Lutheran.
Lutheran Church, okay.
Unfortunately, it's the ELCA, which has kind of gone to the dark side.
Ah, got
so
it.
Now,
that was my next question.
But now they are embracing it. You know, it's not like we're getting sermons on it, except we have a new pastor who throws out snippets. You know, he was talking about the youth conference, the ELCA youth conference that had 10,000 youth. I would never let my kid go to one of those things.
Yeah.
And he played part of a speech from some very, very liberal woman pastor who was celebrating the fact that there were so many gay, lesbian, transgender youth there.
Yep.
I mean,
it's wonderful they come to a church conference. It's absolutely tragic they don't hear the gospel and they don't hear the truth.
I'm okay, you're okay. And, you know, and my question to him is, okay, I have nothing against gay people. I have a lesbian niece that I love and adore, and she's lost as she can be. You know, if we go out and seek to bring them into our church, what is the message you're going to hear?
Exactly. It's like having a great program.
Love them to death and hell.
Yeah, it's like for any other person that needs the Lord, what are we telling them? We can have a great message if you're hungry. I'm talking about physically hungry. If you're hungry, if you're poor, come to our building. But then if you don't give them food and clothes, what's the use of it? So, Mary, just a real quick question for you.
Yes.
You're obviously clear-headed in your faith. What is it that keeps you in a church, which I'm sure in many other ways is completely departing from fundamentals of the Scriptures?
Except for the politically correct stuff that has come in, they have a great heart for ministry, evangelism.
We've
kind of adopted a school, and, you know, I shudder to hear what the kids are going to, you know, hear.
All right, so they do a lot of good. It's a mixture.
It's a mixture, yes. And we're rated the best preschool in town, and the gospel is presented. Obviously, they're not going to get into sexual issues, you know, with little kids. So there is a great element. One of my best friends teaches an awesome Bible class, and we've all been through Bible study fellowship and community Bible study and everything, and so she's totally on track. So there is truth being taught. It's just the pastor is not, you know, he's on board with all of the politically correct stuff.
Got it. All clear. And then just real quick, because I want to get to other callers, two real quick questions. Where does the church stand on abortion?
You know, I've never heard anything said. Never.
Okay, got it. And where does the church stand on Israel? Israel today.
Here again, I think they're going over to the Palestinian thing, which is you asked why I would stay. It's because I've been, you know, those of us who know the truth and teach the truth and embrace the truth had been hopeful that we could turn things around. It's very obvious now with this new pastor that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and you do have to honor the authority there. If the authority says this is the way we're going, then to honor the authority, you privately seek to meet, you express your differences, objections, you appeal, and if they say this is the way we're going, then it is best to move on. But I know there's a loyalty, part of a church, a denomination for years. Sometimes it runs generations in the family. These are difficult decisions, but I'm sure the Lord will lead you. Thank you for calling, Mary. It's extraordinary, but you'll almost always see this. Those that come to the wrong conclusions about what the Bible teaches concerning homosexuality also come to the wrong conclusions concerning what the Bible teaches concerning abortion and concerning Israel. It's fascinating. And there's not necessarily a logical connection aside from a deeper spiritual truth behind it. 866-34-TRUTH. Dave in Hooksett, New Hampshire. What kind of church do you attend, Dave?
Nazarene Church.
Nazarene. All right. So far we've gotten Baptist, Liberal Lutheran, and Nazarene. So over the course of the last year, have you heard many messages on family, moms, dads, parenting, marriage?
That's why I had to call, because you really touched a chord, a total emptiness there. It's as if liberalism has kind of squished people, inhibited people from addressing it. And I'm going to actually now, and I'm going to bring it up, because I'm very involved at my church. In fact, I joined this church a few years back, leaving another church, because of, similar to that previous caller, I thought maybe I could be the salt and the light, but finally came to the conclusion I couldn't be. I was really just enabling the church I was at to continue going down a bad road.
So you're in a church now, Dave, that is...
It's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, as far as touching on family issues or anything that even smells like political issues, it has been missing. Other than my testimonies, I never shy away from it. Everybody knows I'm involved with New Hampshire Right to Life and other issues like that.
Right. You're just saying, sermons, obviously, homosexual issues completely off limits. They're not even talking about pro-life issues. But you're saying that even just talking about the importance of marriage, the role of husbands, wives, the importance of sexual purity in general, parenting, you're just not hearing a lot about that either.
No, it's mostly, strictly scripture, strictly, almost high church kind of thing, but not quite. And, and you brought something up that I intend to bring up as well in that regard. But another thing, too, that's very troubling, as you had alluded to about the call prior to that one, about the being forced to perform these ceremonies.
Yeah.
This was the final straw that broke the camel's back for the Revolutionary War. It was when the state comes in and tells the church what they're going to do. That's when they cross a very, very dangerous line, because to force someone to violate their religious beliefs, even though we kind of are right now by funding abortion through our federal tax dollars, but to force a pastor or a priest or whatever to perform a ceremony that is absolutely evil, in light of scripture, is crossing a very, very a line that can't be crossed.
Yeah, lines are being crossed in a lot of people's thinking. There are people in New York State that were very upset that there was a religious exemption for churches there. They said that's now legalizing and sanctioning bigotry. But once a state officially says that marriage is being redefined, that there is such a thing as same-sex so-called marriage, then if you don't hold to it, you are codified as a bigot. You are in the same class as those who would say a black man should not marry a white woman or something like that. Sad to say. Friends, it's going in one direction. I can get ridiculed for it. If anybody happens to be monitoring this or listening to this, some right-wing watch or gay activist group, community, if anybody happens to catch my comments from today, I don't know if they listen regularly, whatever, but if they do, I'll get really good. Mike Brown now says that you're going to go to jail if you won't perform the same-sex marriage ceremony, and I'll get ridiculed for it. He's an idiot. Hey, friends, and by the way, using that stupid voice, I was not caricaturing anybody else's voice. I was pointing out that they would make it as if I was being completely stupid. Let me be on record for it. If the church does not awaken here in America, that day will come. That day will come. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Janet, Charlotte, you're next. Toka, John, George, Sandra, stay there. I'll get back to you on the other side of the break. Quick announcement. The most important book I wrote on holiness, Go and Sin No More, Cola Holiness, Dr. Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, wrote the foreword to it when he was with us in the late 90s. He wrote the foreword to it, said it was a magnificent book, one of those rare life-changing books. It's been out of print for some years. It'll set the record straight on what grace is, what legalism is, how to live a life pleasing to the Lord. It's now available as an e-book, and it's real cheap, too. Go to Amazon.com. Amazon.com, type in Go and Sin No More. You can get the ebook. You can be reading it in minutes. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking to believers, members of local churches, simply because this is the information I'm looking for, to find out if you're hearing messages in your churches about marriage, family. My assumption would be that you're hearing messages about moms being moms, dads being dads, or there are marriage seminars in the church, or there's teaching on parenting. There may even be teaching on sexual purity because of the plague of pornography and other issues like that. You're hearing about that, but you're hearing very, very little or nothing about homosexuality, homosexual issues, political issues relating to that. What's distressing is the folks calling so far are basically saying they're not even hearing anything about marriage and family. I know it's just a cross-section, but we're asking questions. 866-34-TRUTH. Janet in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello. What kind of church do you attend, Janet?
We don't have a denomination.
Independent church. Got it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Same with ours, my home congregation. All right. So you know the questions. Are you hearing over the course of the year messages about marriage, family, parenting? Are you hearing much about that? Okay. What about messages dealing with homosexuality and the surrounding political issues?
Yes, very frequently. You preached at our church one Sunday, too.
All right. Well, that explains it then. That was a wonderful experience with your pastor, who's also a seminary professor, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Got it. All right. So here's the interesting thing. You know, the other thing I remember about your church, I knew it was a fairly new church plant, and sometimes you don't have, the best musicians or singers or worship leaders. But I was blown away by the team, the team that was there, and the spirit and openness of the people. So you're hearing both pastor and his wife strongly standing for marriage, family in a holistic way. Obviously, mobilizing people to vote for the marriage amendment, but it's not just some anti-homosexual thing. You're hearing pro-family, pro-marriage messages as well.
That's correct. And he's also leading a class for the young boys on sexual purity and just, different things to become a man and how to be a man and how to take care of your family.
Yeah, realizing which church it is, it's primarily an African-American congregation. That is so essential,
mm-hmm.
so essential for the examples to be set and then for these boys to understand how to be men because so many have come from broken homes. That's a holistic gospel approach. Hey, say hi to Pastor Gabe for me, okay?
I will. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. God bless you. Thanks.
God bless you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Sandra in Mount Clair, New Jersey. What kind of church do you attend, Sandra?
It's independent.
All right. And what about the messages you're hearing?
We're getting messages on purity for singles or married couples and what
Good.
You should do, how you should conduct your life and yourself in and out of church.
Excellent. And then what about general teaching for husbands, wives,
Could
marriage emphasis?
That?
Yeah, what about the teaching for husbands, wives?
They have classes before you get married, and they have classes after you're married, how you should have your home life, your marriage life, raise your children.
Got it. And then as far as what you're hearing from the pulpit, is there much talk about issues having to do with homosexuality?
I won't say much because it's relatively new, but when you're taught not to fornicate, and I want to make an aside right now with that, is that that Chick-fil-A person, he knows that if you have a hen and a rooster, you can have an egg. Hen being female, the rooster is male, you can have an egg. If you want a light, you have to have a socket and a plug. Then you get a light, or radio, or TV.
Right. Then, it's what you call biological design when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the natural and obvious intent and the divine intent for man and woman. So, got it. I'm glad to hear. Go ahead. We're short on time, but go ahead.
I know. We have Sodom and Gomorrah, and sodomy is what the Bible is against. And when you get married with God, it's holy matrimony. If you have a civil thing, it's like a contract. So if they want to have a contract, that's one thing. But if you want God in it, you have to have holy matrimony type of marriage.
All right. Hey, got to jump in. Thank you for the call. So in other words, there is not an emphasis from the pulpit on homosexual issues. Homosexual issues would come up in the context of the larger question of sexual purity. I'm going to continue this subject into the next hour, and I've got another survey that I want to test you on the next hour. This first one's easy. I'm just getting information. The one for the next hour is going to be a little bit more challenging. Friends, tomorrow, the first hour, so this very hour, 2 to 3 Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to spend the better part of an hour with Dr. Jerry Newcomb talking about the Bible in American history. The role of the Bible in American history. I think you'll find it fascinating. So call your friends, especially those who are radical separation, church and state, ACLU, you know, People for the American Way, whatever these groups are. Encourage them to tune in tomorrow from 2 to 3, this first hour, all right? And also, as you're praying with us, I will be going to India, God willing, leaving on Friday, a previously unscheduled trip, coming back about a week later, and broadcasting 3 nights, perhaps even 4 from India. I say nights because it'll be from 12:30 to 2:30 in the morning. I'll be broadcasting from India. But please pray. I just got back from ministry in D.C., Virginia, going to Orlando and doing radio from Orlando this week, coming back and then leaving for India. And we need some extra financial support. We've really stretched ourselves out to do this. And if you're able to help, a gift, large or small, would really make a difference. It's one of those times where we'll really feel it. If you feel led to become a new Torchbearer monthly supporter, just think of what would happen if we weren't on the air. And think conversely of what would happen if we could be on many, many, many more fine stations across America. But it's a joint effort. It's something that we literally do together. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Make sure you take advantage of the special offer, my 2-hour lecture and Q&A session at University of South Florida earlier this year. Is Israel an evil occupier? We need to set the record straight. There are many, many voices, even in the church now, opposing so-called Christian Zionism. We need to set the historical record straight. Just the map on the back of this DVD cover is worth it all. You'll get this, which is a $20 value, plus the 2-hour radio program where I differed with my friend Hank Hanegraaff on his views on Israel and Zionism. So the DVD and 2 more CDs, $20 postage paid for everything. But call or order 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the online bookstore for the resource offer, 1-800-278-9978. And could you help with an additional gift? If you've already ordered this, call in, help with a gift for our India trip. We'd really appreciate it deeply. My bottom line, friends, there's no more choice in the matter. We can't be indifferent. We can't be on the sidelines. Culture is changing. The separation is here. What side are you on? There is no question that our culture, our nation, is being shaken. The question is, what is God doing in the midst of it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, this past weekend, I ministered in D.C., Virginia area. Folks came from Maryland, D.C., Virginia for a special listeners rally we had, ministered in some local congregations, ministered to leaders there. And I said, you know, I am absolutely serious. I am absolutely serious about being a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. There must be a revolution. More of the same will only produce more of the same. More of the same of what we're doing in church will only produce more of the same. More of the same of what we're doing in society will only produce more of the same. But the revolution of which I speak is not one fought with physical weapons, God forbid. It is not one fought with anger, hatred, violence, intimidation. It is one fought with the principles of Jesus, overcoming evil with good, overcoming darkness with light, overcoming hatred with love, living out the radical principles of our Savior and Lord. I invite you to be part of that revolution with me on the broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, we mourn the tragic, senseless loss of lives and the massacre at the Sikh temple this weekend. And as I said in the first hour, it's a reminder for us to pray for the gospel to go to the Sikh people. Indians, about 25 million worldwide, something like 700,000 living in America, but primarily in certain parts of America. So most of us, unless we live in the right cities and locations, don't have contact with Sikhs. They are not Hindus. They are not Muslims. They affirm Hinduism for Hindus and Muslim and Islam for Muslims and Christianity for Christians. They are monotheists, but they are absolutely not true followers of Jesus. A great opportunity for us in the midst of this tragedy, apparently the work of a white supremacist, if the reports are accurate, because the killer was killed himself in the midst of the gunfire. A great time for us to pray for them and to say, oh God, turn this tragedy, which for them is international because they're a closely knit community, turn this tragedy for good. Console those mourning, suffering, but may the gospel come to the Sikh community. I've been watching in the aftermath of everything that's happened with Chick-fil-A last week, the incredible outpouring of support, the record-setting lines. It's not just because the only way you can get American Christians doing things is gluttony and fast food. Read basically that accusation already today. But the kiss-in, the gay kiss-in, the counter-protest on Friday was a complete flop. Hardly attended at all. Why? That's a fair question. But the fact that there was such a massive turnout in support of Chick-fil-A was not simply because people say, yes, Dan, Kathy, we stand with you, CEO, president of Chick-fil-A, we stand with you in standing for marriage. But there has been American outrage over the attack on the president, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, for simply holding to what we have held to through the history of our nation and through almost all human history and what is clearly foundationally taught in Scripture. The separation is getting more and more intense. An article by a gay journalist, whom I know to be a civil man as we've interacted privately by email, he said, if I hear one more person say that he or she is supporting Chick-fil-A because, quote, this is a First Amendment issue, I'm going to jump out of one of the Huffington Post fifth floor windows where he works and swan dive into oncoming traffic. He said, I fully support Kathy's right to say whatever he wants. But just because someone can say something doesn't mean they should. And he absolutely blasts their position. It's completely wrong, bigoted, hateful. The separation is getting more extreme. Got some questions for you when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so just to set the stage again very quickly, calls we were taking last hour, I'm going to continue to take some now in this hour, and then I've got a different survey question for you, my dear listeners, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Here's my question. As I've interacted with gay journalists and other gay activists, they'll often say, well, what about divorce? How come you don't say anything about divorce? Jesus talked about divorce explicitly. He didn't say anything about homosexuality, homosexual practice. How come you don't say more about divorce? And all these Christian ministries are hypocrites because they don't say anything about divorce. Well, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the church, unfortunately. In fact, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the human race. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need redemption, as we as followers of Jesus need to step higher so that the accusation of hypocrisy can't stick, especially on our leadership. We need to step higher in many ways. And of course, it's a myth that Jesus didn't address homosexuality in at least three different ways he did. He said he didn't come to abolish the law of prophets, but to fulfill. And he took the moral and sexual ethic standards of the Torah and took them to a higher level rather than abolish them. That's Matthew 5. Secondly, in Matthew 15, he said that what defiles us is what comes out of the heart, not what goes into the mouth. I mean, it's not the food you eat. It's the life that you live and the thoughts that you think and the actions that you engage in. And he mentioned sexual immoralities in the plural as part of that which defiles us. That includes all sexual acts outside of marriage. And the only marriage there was, of course, is male-female. And then thirdly, in Matthew 19, he reaffirms God's plan and design from creation, one man, one woman for life. Now, I've often said that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to undermine and destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. I've said that many times. I believe it. I've also pointed out, though, and sought to point out to activist journalists I've dealt with, or just someone I'm interacting with that identifies as gay, lesbian, that most of the family ministries, the Christian ministries, focus on issues having to do with marriage, family, parenting, and don't focus on issues having to do with homosexuality. Here, let me contrast this. Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, has a $45 million budget. And they are lobbying, they are fighting political battles, they are fighting ideological battles to change America in ways that they think is right and fair for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender-identified people. Their keynote speaker in Washington, D.C. last couple of years has been none other than our president, Mr. Obama. Contrast that with Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family, which I would say is the largest Christian family ministry in the world, maybe at their highest, their annual budget was $130 million. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a little higher than that. Less than 3% of that went to deal with homosexual issues. Less than 3%. So you're talking about under $5 million. And this is the biggest of them all. Other organizations that stand for righteousness, other organizations that stand against homosexual activism have miserably small budgets. So the vast majority of marriage, family, teaching, of emphasis on these issues that's coming into churches and in Christian ministries is not about homosexuality. It's about heterosexual marriages and families. It's this misperception that all these evangelicals, these Christians, just constantly bashing homosexuals, and it's the big topic. In fact, the fact that I address these things makes me one of the rare voices that does. I don't mean I'm special because of it. Certainly, I don't mean I'm persecuted because of it. Poor me. I'm just saying that it's all too conspicuous how much absence there is. So I'm just asking, in your local church, where you go, how much do you hear about marriage, family, parenting, moms, dads, sexual purity issues? How much do you hear about homosexual issues? 866-34-TRUTH. John in Houston. All right, we lost John, but we'll stay in Houston. Jane in Houston, Texas. We lost John and Jane in Houston. Well, what do you know about that? What's the world coming to? 866-34-TRUTH. Nancy in New York City. We didn't lose Nancy, did we?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
All right, great. What kind of church do you attend, Nancy?
I attend an independent church, a very small one in the Catskill Mountains.
Okay.
But I have a fantastic pastor.
Wonderful. I'm thrilled to hear it. That's always a joy to hear. All right, over the course of a year, do you hear messages about marriage, family, things like that?
Very frequently.
Very frequently. Okay. Okay,
yes.
And what about... Go ahead.
No, I was saying how to be a better person, a better Christian, how to put out the gospel. And his catch saying or phrase for this year has been, live the code, live the code.
Mm, I like that.
Bible.
Got it.
Yeah.
I like that. And now what about messages dealing with homosexuality or homosexual issues? Do you hear much about that?
Not specifically, no.
Got it.
And it might be because the congregation is relatively small, and all of us are on the same page, really.
Right. It's just, by and large, it's just not the main focus in churches. There is this myth that you know, this is the big thing. We get up every Sunday, and God hates fags, and if you're a sodomite, get out of here. You know, whereas in point of fact, this is just not on the minds of most of the folks. And but anyway, Nancy, glad to hear that you love the church and pastor, and live it out. Live it out, as you say. 866-34-TRUTH. Mary on Long
Hello.
Island. You're on the air, Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking
to a friend
of mine. I'm calling from a car, so I hope you hear me.
Loud and clear.
I just wanted to throw in my two cents, and I just want to preface it by telling you that I really so absolutely appreciate you, Michael Brown, Dr. Michael Brown, because you are one of the rare people in Christendom that really deals with truth with love. And I know the threats that have been launched against you, and I know, I understand all that. I just think the way you handle people is exemplary, and I really appreciate that. And you're one of my role models in that. So, that being said, I just wanted to say that we were talking about compromising going on in church, and well, very recently we almost had a church split where I am, because there was a few elements there that were willing to compromise and go to the world. And long story, but what I want to say is I think it's absolutely essential that we not compromise on any important issues. Issues, because it just invites, like, what is that scripture? You know it better than I do. I'm in my car. I can't look it up. But where there's unleavened bread and we throw in a little bad yeast, or what is that scripture?
In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Mary, first, let me thank you for your kind words. I'm just jumping in because your call was cutting in and out. I wasn't sure if it was just me, but we were having a hard time hearing in the studio, but I did absolutely hear the gist of it. There is tremendous pressure to compromise right now. Tremendous pressure to not want to seem bigoted, mean-spirited. Tremendous pressure, and it is absolutely essential that with love, with broken hearts, with an unwavering commitment to Jesus, with an unwavering commitment to every person in our society, especially those who are outcast and hurting, that we do not compromise truth. If we compromise truth, it is the one guaranteed way that we will hurt society, that we will hurt people, that we will dishonor the Lord. Again, thanks for calling, Mary. Thank you for the kind words. Mark in King, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I enjoy the show, but, you know, I think one thing that we do is we misinterpret a lot of God's words. You know, he said, you know, we got to rightly divide the truth. Like, there's a lot of people over in North Carolina, I mean, in the Bible Belt, that I know that people actually throw people out of church for having, you know, pants on, because if they're a woman, they're not supposed to wear pants.
There's a lot of religious traditionalism, I'm going to get back to you. But let me just jump in and say this. You know what happens, though, Mark, is that the media will find one of these churches and caricature that as if that's everybody. They'll find
exactly
the one that's caught up in traditionalism. But what kind of church do you attend, Mark?
I'm actually in a Baptist church, and I mean, you know, we don't believe in that. I mean, we believe definitely a woman can wear, you know, whatever she
wants. Right, right,
right.
Not the
issue. I believe in moderation. But, you know, I'm just saying that because we misinterpret that part of the Bible when he says don't dress in a man's apparel. You know, at that time, Paul, even Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he went in to go to preach the gospel, he was going through, a lot of the people were dressed up, the men were dressed up to look like women. I mean, he had to encounter a lot of that, you know. I mean, that was going on then. I mean, it's always been going on. In Romans chapter 1, you know, God says, you know, he gives an example. And all the Hebrew about, you know, Hebrew tells us about those are examples. And we don't, a lot of times we look to the Bible as somebody, you know, we look to David. When we follow
right.
something, we go right,
right
to David. And we say, you know, well, he done it, but, you know, it's okay for me to, you know.
Yeah, and just to jump in, you know, example. Just, I'm sorry to jump in, but 1 Corinthians 10, the word says what happened in terms of God's dealing with the Israelites. Example for us today.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. My joy, my privilege to be on the air with you as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. In the midst of a society in chaos, the church all too often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Allow me to just make a quick correction. Joey, cheese, spelled with an S. Cheese, spelled with an S, not a Z. It's a pizza-related quite well, a pizza-related joke during the break. There we go. Got that straight. 866-348-7884. Oh, almost 2 years ago, I debated my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on the subject of, is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? It's the title he wanted to use, but my answer to that was no, as well as his. My answer was that the greatest threat, the greatest moral crisis in America was the lack of consciousness of God. And I did say, though, that homosexual activism was the greatest threat to religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and every day that goes by, that becomes more and more clear. But I did a survey of the people there at the debate, which was hosted by our friends at Southern Evangelical Seminary, where I also serve as an adjunct professor, as I'm able to teach classes there every couple of years. And maybe there are 300 people present. And I asked them, how many of you in the last year have heard a message from your pulpit or there's been a seminar sponsored in your church having to do with marriage, family, parenting? Virtually every hand went up. How many have heard teaching on sexual purity issues having to do with pornography and just sexual purity in general, either from the pulpit or at a men's meeting, a women's meeting? Most all the hands went up. How many of you have heard messages having to do with homosexual activism? And the only hands that went up were people that were from my own home church and heard me preach about it, where I speak once a month. I'm not the pastor, but I speak once a month. So I just want to find out what you're hearing, because, again, the perception is from the liberal side, from the gay activist side, that we focus continually on homosexual issues. The fact that on Wednesdays in particular I'll deal with this, and sometimes on a Monday issues will come up where I'll deal with this, but otherwise there could be weeks where this doesn't come up at all. And out of the 22 books I've written, only one focuses on this entirely, and one in a primary way, and those both written in the last few years. The perception is, this is all we talk about, this is all we focus on, just gay bashing. And the reality is, these issues are taboo, disallowed, off subject in most evangelical churches in America. But you will hear about marriage, family. Now, we should hear even more about marriage, family, and we should hear even more about the wrongness of no-fault divorce, etc., and how God hates divorce, and God's desires for one man, one woman for life, and then repairing lives of those that have been through horrors of divorce, been victims. We should put more emphasis on that, for sure. But just want to find out what you're hearing. Next half hour, I'm switching gears, a different survey, some other questions, but this is the easy one now. So let me get a couple more calls. Steve in Seattle, Washington, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for getting my call. I talked to a pastor here locally. I do sell jewelry here at, in my city, and I get a lot of gay couples coming in. And I asked him how I should feel about compromising my issues as far as being a Christian. Mm-hmm. And should I feel good about them, you know, condoning what they're doing? And he said, it's not up to you to do your judgment. You need to, if you're not the store owner, you need to just do your job, and God will take care of the rest. And then I said, well, what if you're the pastor and you're up there at the altar marrying them together? Well, how would you feel about that? He said, well, that's a different situation altogether. And I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, ultimately, Steve, every one of us, we have to act in accordance with our own conscience. In other words, Starbucks in Charlotte used to actively support gay pride events in the city. And we contact them, and someone had taken pictures of some real gross stuff that happened there. I said, look, heterosexual or homosexual, this is just wrong. This is just wrong. And wrote to them, interacted with one of their national leaders, and in other words, not just the local store. And he said, we support diversity. We back everyone in our community. And I said, well, can you tell me what you've done for pro-life? Can you tell me what you've done pro-marriage, family? And he said, I don't like the way this conversation is going. So I backed away just because I was really reaching out to him. We subsequently interacted by phone again in writing. I sent him more material. And I said, will you change your stance? He goes, no, we sponsor diversity. I said, this is perversity, not diversity. No, we sponsor diversity. Because of that, as a personal matter of conscience, I don't do business with Starbucks. Now, there are other companies I know. Here, I am using a Microsoft computer. I use an American Express credit card. I fly different airlines that all support homosexual activism. In fact, I don't think I could communicate, I could travel, I could do any of these things without working with a company that supports these things. But when there are issues of personal conscience that come up and I feel I have to make a choice, I do it. The bottom line is this: if you are forced to compromise your convictions to do what you do, then you can't do it. If you are forced to compromise convictions that are important to you, let's just say you worked at a store and the store owner was a known racist and participated in white supremacist events and things like that, and you worked at that store and you knew that the proceeds from that store he used to help back his agenda, well, you confront him, and if he doesn't repent, you leave. You can't do that as a matter of conscience. If you were told, or we're going to put gay pride posters up all over the building here, but you can't leave your Bible on your desk because that's offensive, or if you want to put up a counter event that's going to be taking place, you can't do that, then unless the Lord says, I'm sending you on a mission to change them, you can't stay as a matter of conscience. So yeah, go ahead.
They told me just to pray for them after they leave. That's all I can do at that point. I said, you know, it feels like counter-evangelism. I evangelize on the weekends, hand out tracts, and then I go and do my job Monday through Friday, and I have to tell them, hey, good for you, good job, I'm really happy for you. And they walk out the door, and I know that I've just done something that's against God's will.
Right. The issue is, if you're on someone else's time, right?
Right.
Let's say you're working, you do a lot of Muslim evangelism. Now you're working in a store, Muslims come in, and you want to start preaching the gospel to them. Well, your boss can say, sorry, not on my dime. During those hours, your job is, you know, you work in an auto parts store. They come in for auto. Here's this. Thank you. Have a nice day. That's all you can do. That's perfectly acceptable. If they tell you, hey, look, you're having lunch, we have a Muslim employee, you can't talk to that person about Jesus, then they've crossed the line. Here's someone who's, openly, proudly gay, and they're talking freely about their views, but you can't, then it gets compromised. Then you have to make a choice. Hey, Steve, gotta run. May the Lord give you wisdom in terms of how you respond to this situation. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I am really committed to this. I'm absolutely serious about this. With everything in me, I want to see a Jesus revolution. I want to see the church so changed that when we read the New Testament and look at our lives, they line up. That when we read the words of Jesus and look at our lives and our churches, they line up. Friends, I'm utterly convinced. I'm utterly convinced that in so many of our churches, denominations, groups around America, be they mega churches or home churches, that throughout America, so much of what happens in our services, in our mentality, bears little resemblance to the gospel of the New Testament. And I can't imagine how we could spend, say, a year studying the words of Jesus and looking at his example and praying and seeking to take these things in and then going out and doing church the way many of us do it today. Time for revolution, but not the way the world does revolution. Not hatred, not anger, not intimidation, not bad attitudes, God forbid, certainly not violence, but radical change. Jesus radically changing us. We go and radically change our world. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I spoke earlier in the broadcast. Remember, those just tuning in, we've been on the air an hour and a half already in different parts of the nation. Spoke about the tragic massacre of Sikh worshipers and the safety of their own temple by an apparent white supremacist murderer. It's an agonizing time as the Sikhs are a very close-knit community, 25 million roughly worldwide, about 700,000, I understand, living in the States, a monotheistic faith that arose in India against Hinduism, but welcomes the validity of all different religious faiths for those practitioners themselves. They're monotheists, but they need the gospel. This should be a call for us to pray for a group that most of us don't know, for people most of us don't know, and people for whom Jesus died, and people with very strong traditional values. Let's pray for the Sikh community in America and worldwide, not only for comfort, but for the revelation of the gospel to come. 866-34-TRUTH. I am doing a little survey here. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to read something to you, and I want you to call in with answers. I'm going to read 10 points to you. I want you to call in with answers to any one of the points, all right? One of the young ladies in our ministry office here works in our missions department, graduated from our school of ministry, sent me a note saying that someone that she knew, believer in high school, has come out as homosexual and struggling in different ways. But he posted this, and she just wanted to send it to me, assuming I'd seen it, but in case I hadn't. It says, it's called 10 Things I Wish the Church Knew About Homosexuality, and it's got a crown of thorns at the top. It's got the Christian image. 10 Things I Wish the Church Knew About Homosexuality. How would you respond? How would you respond? 866-34-TRUTH. Number one, if Jesus did not mention a subject, it cannot be essential to his teachings. If Jesus did not mention a subject, it cannot be essential to his teachings. Number two, you're not being persecuted when prevented from persecuting others. Number three, truth isn't like wine that gets better with age. It's more like manna you must recognize wherever you are and whoever you are with. Four, you cannot call it special rights when someone asks for the same rights you have. Five, it is no longer your personal religious view if you're bothering someone else. Six, marriage is a civil ceremony, which means it's a civil right. Seven, if how someone stimulates the pubic nerve has become the needle to your moral compass, you are the one who is lost. Eight, to condemn homosexuality, you must use parts of the Bible you don't obey yourself. Anyone who obeyed every part of Leviticus would rightly be put in prison. Nine, if we do not do the right thing in our day, our grandchildren will look at us with the same embarrassment we look at racist grandparents. 10, when Jesus forbade judging, that included you. How would you respond to any one of these 10 points? 866-34-TRUTH. I'll repeat them when we come back.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. How would you respond to these 10 points? This was written by someone named Jim Rigby. Some of them may seem stronger than others, some more absurd to you than others. Friend sent it, a colleague here in our ministry sent it over after it was posted on our Facebook page. 10 things I wish the church knew about homosexuality. 1, if Jesus did not mention a subject, it cannot be essential to his teachings. 2, you're not being persecuted when prevented from persecuting others. 3, truth isn't like wine that gets better with age. It's more like manna you must recognize wherever you are, whoever you're with. 4, you cannot call it special rights when someone asks for the same rights you have. 5, it's no longer your personal religious view if you're bothering someone else. 6, marriage is a civil ceremony, which means it's a civil right. 7, if how someone stimulates certain sexual part of your body has become the needle to your moral compass, you're the one who's lost. 8, to condemn homosexuality, you misuse parts of the Bible you don't yourself obey. Anyone who obeyed every part of Leviticus would rightly be put in prison. 9, if we do not do the right thing in our day, our grandchildren will look at us with the same embarrassment we look at racist grandparents. 10, when Jesus forbade judging, that included you. How'd you respond to these? You can pick 1, 2, and we'll mark them off as we go. Steve in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Which would you like to respond to, sir?
Yeah, 2 of them, if I could. The first one, of course, and the one about truth.
Okay, great.
The first statement, that's a straw dog that so many people use because their theology is incorrect. Jesus is God. And Jesus, as part of the Godhead, was there in Leviticus when this was written, number one. Number two, Jesus inspired and taught Paul for 3 years. In the desert. Paul wrote the book of Romans. The first chapter of Romans addresses this. Christ addressed the culture. This is the problem in America today. It's not politics. It's not religion. It's not race. It is the culture. And Christ addressed the culture multiple times. The other thing about the other point I'd like to bring out is
truth isn't like wine that gets better with age. It's more like manna you must recognize wherever you are and whoever you are with.
Yeah, another half-truth statement, because, you see, truth is exclusive. And not my truth or not your truth, but truth. Truth is always exclusive. And God's natural law was for a man and a woman to come together and create a natural family. That is, a mother, a father, and children. This is impossible to be done in the homosexual culture. And that is simply the truth.
Got it.
And
all right, Steve.
Again,
yeah, let me just jump in so I can get to some other callers, but I appreciate that. So to say that Jesus didn't specifically address the subject, well, if you recognize Jesus as one with the Father, then you've got to deal with the whole Bible, right? And by the Spirit inspiring those who come after. And then truth does not shift from generation to generation based on perceptions. We may become more educated about something. But truth is a rock. I'll comment more on that. I want to hear from more of you. 866-34-TRUTH. Bill in Philadelphia, what would you like to respond
to? Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. My response would be kind of generalized. My response would be, since you don't seem to believe thus saith the Lord, maybe, sir, you believe in thus saith the Centers for Disease Control, which corroborates what thus saith the Lord says. That would be my response.
All right. In other words, if God intended this, then why is it so fraught with health risks and other related issues? Hey, Bill, I appreciate that. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Sean in Mesa, Arizona, what would you like to respond to?
Well, just 2 quick things. Just on all those points, if I would say probably 99.9% of those people that are holding to, you know, basically, if some form of postmodernism, everything that comes out of their mouth is totally relative, because, you know, to know if something's wrong, you first need to know what is right and have that barometer of standard. So they're just borrowing and picking from Christianity. You know, they need to get their own set of standards and their own set of morality outside of God of the Bible, which you can't do. That's where it all begins. That's where it ends.
Got it. All right, Sean, thank you for weighing in. In other words, we don't sit and pass judgment on the Scriptures. The Scriptures sit and pass judgment on us, and also, as God's Word, give us the way to salvation. Flying through the calls, Russ and Brandon, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
All right. My comment is just, I would take any of the questions by themselves, but it seems like those questions are obviously posed by somebody that wants to support their own point of view.
Right. Obviously, there's statements made to support their point of view, of course.
And I didn't hear any scripture written in any of those questions.
Right. So the question would be, what alleged scriptures are being pointed to? And, you know, the last one, Jesus forbade judging, that included you. That would have been a reference to Matthew 7:1 and parallels like that. But the obvious thing is, these are just to you statements that have no scriptural bearing or scriptural truth. And therefore, what's the power or point of them if you're trying to appeal to Christians, correct?
Exactly. And, you know, we're all sinners. And I'm not a sinner any worse than a homosexual is a sinner. We acknowledge our sin as Christians. And I think, as the other fellow thought he was going to point out, you know, if Paul wrote it, it's within the New Testament realms of our guidance for our behavior. We're not under the law anymore, but it clearly states that, you know, homosexuality is wrong in the New Testament.
Yeah, and in point of fact, Russ, Jesus takes the moral and sexual ethic of the Torah to a higher level. Not being under the law means not being under the law's condemnation, or under the law as a system of justification, or under the law as a tutor or guardian to bring us to the Messiah. We are, however, by the Spirit now called to live out the righteous requirements of the law. Lori in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Yeah, the one that I want to respond to is the special rights one.
Yes, please.
I know that they're talking about the marriage right, but what about the fact that I worked in a high school and I saw how the gay kids got to have a special day of silence. They have their, what is that called, that group for gay teens.
Gay Straight Alliance.
All over the place.
Right.
We are not even allowed to just stay with the opinion that we were raised with of what is right and what is wrong. We're not even allowed to state what we feel about what the Bible says about certain things. Whereas if we had parades, the kind that they, well, I guess we're not even allowed to have those parades.
Well,
so,
yeah, let's just say we could have a parade, they could have a parade, but let's think about that. You make a great point. This was on this list, 10 things I wish the church knew about homosexuality. Number 4, you cannot call it, quote, special rights when someone asks for the same rights you have. So you're saying that there is tremendous favoritism in the schools towards gay positions. Just think of a day of silence in the schools in recognition of the persecution of Christians in different parts of the world. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. And furthermore, Dr. Brown, I want to point out, what about on television, in the media, all over the place? I mean, if anybody depicted homosexuals the way they depict Christians...
You're right.
You know?
You're absolutely right, Lori. Imagine this. Imagine someone like Tim Tebow, who's one of the best-known athletes in America, and known in particular for his strong Christian faith. He gets bashed and mocked for his beliefs, for his stance, for his morality, and so on. Bashed, mocked constantly.
Right.
What if Tim Tebow was an openly gay football player and people were attacking him because of his sexuality? There'd be instant outrage and fines leveled and media people fired.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. I understand their perspective. We want to marry, like you can marry and so on. But let's flip this around. There are all kinds of special rights and special treatment that comes towards gay and lesbian community that is absolutely the opposite when it comes to Christians with moral convictions.
Oh, and one other one I wanted to say is, and there are places all over this country, and I've heard you bring them up on your show, where you cannot even opt your child out of being indoctrinated into learning that homosexuality for themselves as they grow up, your child.
Yep, you're 100% right. Hey, the music means we're out of time, but Lori, great call. Right on. Totally true. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I've been reading from a list that was sent to me yesterday, 10 Things I Wish the Church Knew About Homosexuality. And perhaps later in the week, I'll give my own responses to all 10 things listed here. Sadly, many Christians don't know how to respond point for point, not for the sake of getting into an argument, but just having a solid answer. And I've found many times that when I've interacted with people who have very, very different viewpoints, they're not aware that there is an answer. They're not aware that there are other ways of looking at these things. And sometimes I remember long flight to Rome. And flying next to a very out and proud gay man, he immediately brought it up to me, so I was out and proud with my faith. But we had very candid, heartfelt discussion, warm, exchanged contact info afterwards. And he pointed out, we were in business class. I had been upgraded on the flight. We were in business class. But in front of us was a very small first class section, which is basically filled two men with three or four teenage boys, and it was a gay couple. And this fellow said to me, now, you know, look at that. He said, I think that's beautiful. I think these two men are providing a wonderful home. They're obviously doing well. They're flying in first class over to Rome. They've got the whole family there. I think that's a wonderful thing. I said, they may be very, very devoted dads and may really care. I said, but those kids are being deprived of having a mom. See, that's my issue. The kids need a mom and a dad, and by definition now, they are being deprived of having a mom. And he goes, well, I never thought of that. Now, it didn't change his view, but it gave him something to think about, and it, as obvious it was to me, he had never thought about it. So getting some of your responses to the 10 points, I don't have time to reread all of them. If I did, I wouldn't get to your responses. Jeff in Salt Lake City, Utah, what would you like to respond to, sir?
Well, the idea that about extra rights, or, you know, the fact of the matter is all people have the same rights when it comes to marriage. You can get married to the opposite sex, so that's not an issue. But
Jeff, what if someone said that's like saying that you have the right to marry a man? In other words, that doesn't do anything for me because I'm attracted to the same sex, whereas you're attracted to the opposite sex. So I want the right to be married to the one I'm attracted to.
Well, it still doesn't change the fact that you have the right to be married. Attraction is a separate issue from being the choice to be married.
Right, and I think, Jeff, the way to approach that, Jeff, is to say marriage by definition and by history, by intent, is the union of a man and woman. So if it's not that, it's not marriage. No one is stopping you if you want to have a relationship with someone of the same sex. No one's stopping you from doing that, but don't call it marriage. But there's another point you wanted to respond to, so go ahead.
Well, he followed it up, and I think that's what he was basing his argument on, was that it was a civil right. And
Marriage is a civil ceremony, which means it's a civil right.
Right, and we're talking about two different issues in this case. you know, the idea that marriage should be allowed or not be allowed by a moral standard is completely different from whether you are doing something in a under a civil ceremony.
Here's the other thing.
Independent.
Right, here's the other thing, Jeff. Number one is that marriage is not only a civil ceremony. Many people, if not most people, get married in a religious setting. But number two, if that argument holds, marriage is a civil ceremony, which means it's a civil right, then it's available to anyone, period. Two brothers, a man and four wives, no limit, no definition of it. I mean, the more I look at the list, like, oh, boy. All right, Berkeley in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We're a little short on time, but what would you like to respond to?
Yeah, just a quick question unrelated to what the topic you're talking about. Just wanted to get your feelings about, are we as Christians still required to tithe? Or are we bound by the tithe and offering?
Let me just jump in. We really can't go off topic, plus there's no time. But in short, it's a good principle. It's a godly principle. It's something I lived by for many years, but it cannot be considered a New Testament requirement or law, but rather an excellent principle to follow. Okay. Sorry, friends. By the way, that's not what our call screener was told was the subject. Can I just respond to one thing real quick? If Jesus did not mention a subject, it cannot be essential to his teachings. Therefore, human trafficking is not something we should care about because Jesus didn't mention it. But by the way, how much did Jesus teach about slavery? So I guess during the time of the slave trade in America. Kidnapping. How much did Jesus talk about kidnapping? Wife beating. Bestiality. How much did he talk about any of those things? Yeah. What? A weak statement. If Jesus did not mention a subject, it cannot be essential to his teachings. Well, how about the fact that Jesus also reinforced the law of the prophets and took the moral and sexual purity standards of Torah to a higher level with adultery and fornication? How about the fact that he reinforced marriage as the union of a man and woman only, and that was God's intent from creation? How about the fact that he said that all sexual acts outside of marriage defile the person, Matthew 15, and the one and only marriage that was recognized was male, female, as God intended it. I'm going to keep this on my desk to respond to these others. Sorry, we're out of time. Can't take more calls. Friends, we were able to schedule the trip to India leaving on Friday, this Friday. God willing, I'll be doing several days of live broadcasting from India, which is always special. We've got new equipment I'll be traveling with that we hope should give us high-quality broadcasts from India. I'll be doing them 12:30 to 2:30 in the morning to do the broadcast, but it'll be my joy. But we need your help. We're really stretched very tightly, and I'd love if you could help with an additional gift. If everyone listening could just pitch in to help hold my hands up as we go to India and pour ourselves out there. 1-800-278-9978. We're extending the special offer from last week. My two-hour DVD is Israel, an Evil Occupier, my lecture at the University of South Florida that will open your eyes in terms of the truth of the Middle East conflict. Two-hour DVD PowerPoint presentation with Q&A, plus the 2 hours of my radio program last week on two CDs, Why I Disagree with my friend Hank Hanegraaff on Israel and Zionism. $20 postage paid for all these resources together. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, friends, truth does not shift from generation to generation. Our perceptions may shift, but what God has spoken, what God says is eternal, what God says is true, that's our rock, that's our foundation. Don't move from it.